From NPR News in Washington, I'm Carol Van Dam. Pittsburgh police say the gunman who shot dead three police officers responding to a domestic disturbance call was lying in wait. Police Chief Nate Harper describes what happened.
As soon as the officer stepped in to the doorway, he was immediately met with gunfire, receiving a wound fatally to the head. Second officer received a wound fatally to the head as well.
Harper says he doesn't know why Richard Poplawski did what he did, but friends say he was recently despondent over losing his job. Police are portraying the gunman in the Binghamton, New York shooting rampage as an angry, troubled 41-year-old man who recently lost his job and struggled with drugs. Jibril Wong shot and killed 13 people before killing himself. European leaders are praising President Obama's Afghan strategy as the NATO summit wraps up in France. They've also agreed to send up to 5,000 extra military trainers and police to the region. As the summit in France drew to a close, a group of anti-NATO protesters in Strasbourg set fire to a hotel on the outskirts of the city. Eleanor Beardsley filed this report from Strasbourg.
About 100 hardline masked demonstrators also set fire to a pharmacy and an empty customs building. A heavy police presence had kept demonstrators out of the center of Strasbourg. Earlier in the day, a couple hundred activists made a last attempt to reach the downtown area. They were held back by riot police who pinned the demonstrators in by a bridge on the outskirts of the city. Leah Koenig from Germany says the police abused their power just like NATO.
They are keeping us down with brutal violence. There are, I don't know how many thousands of cops here, and we are 200, and we had no right. No demonstration was allowed in Strasbourg. This is not democratic.
These peace activists say they have not been involved in clashes with police. They blame the violence on anarchists who they say have infiltrated their group. For NPR News, I'm Eleanor Beardsley in Strasbourg.
Pakistani officials say an American aid worker abducted by gunmen 2 months ago has been freed. John Selecki was abandoned by his captors in the southern part of the country. NPR's Philip Reeves reports.
Selecki was kidnapped in Quetta, where he worked for the United Nations Refugee Agency. The gunman who ambushed his car killed his driver. Although the Taliban's active in the area, his abductors turned out to be from an unknown militant group fighting for the secession of Baluchistan, Pakistan's largest and poorest province. They later released a video in which Selecki said he was sick and in trouble. The militants tried to use Selecki as a hostage to pressure for the release of many hundreds of prisoners, and at one point threatened to kill him within 72 hours. UN officials recently warned he could be gravely ill. He's thought to have heart problems and diabetes. Officials say he's now been located and is being taken to Quetta, where he'll receive treatment. Philip Rees, NPR News, Islamabad.
Meantime, a suicide bomber attacked a paramilitary base in Islamabad, killing 8 people. This is NPR. The British government has given billions of dollars to UK banks, but it now finds it is running short of money for thousands of English high school students. Larry Miller has more from London.
After campaigning for students to stay in education longer and promising state high schools funding for the next academic year, the British government says due to miscalculating student numbers, it's $90 million short. Under the British system, students specialize in 3 to 4 subjects in their last 2 years of school. An estimated 35,000 English high school students may be left without a place this September. The chairman of the Head Teachers Association said jobs will now go, leading to bigger classes and fewer courses. He said small science, math, language, and IT courses are the most likely to face the axe. The education minister said he'd try to find the funding. For NPR News, I'm Larry Miller in London.
In Texas, Wheeler County authorities say residents of Wheeler can go back home after being told to evacuate because of an approaching wildfire. Officials told residents to leave this afternoon. A county information officer says the fire is still burning, but the town is no longer in immediate danger. The wildfire jumped the North Fork of the Red River and was moving toward the town near the Texas-Oklahoma border earlier today. Fans and players are enjoying a big night tonight in Detroit. Ford Field is hosting the NCAA men's basketball Final Four games. Connecticut and Michigan State are playing at this hour. This is Michigan State's 5th trip to the games. North Carolina meets Villanova later tonight. I'm Carol Van Dam, NPR News in Washington.